I got to admit, when someone says, can I stop the service to give $100? Well, okay. You know, so, hey, so today we are continuing with the book of Joshua and a study in Joshua. And so here's the thing. We've been talking, this whole series from the book of Joshua is about moving forward. And so what we have been talking about is how do you get ready to go into the promised land? Because that's what's happening. Now, I don't know about you, but when you get ready for a new adventure, a new journey, I mean, what does it take for you to get ready? I mean, think about that. Okay, so we have a granddaughter, right? She's 1.5 years old. And when we want to take her anywhere, this is no small deal. How many of you have children? Okay, how many of you have small children? Okay, you go to the top of my prayer list. You really do. Because, you know, I'm sitting there and they're like, okay, I'm just like, okay, Elizabeth, let's go outside and play. And whoa, my wife's like, got to get sunscreen. Sunscreen? I mean, she won't burn that much, you know, not a big deal. But, you know, so you put the sunscreen on, right? And then, okay, she's getting ready to go. Okay, let's go, Elizabeth, ready to go. Oh, got to get her hat. She's got a hat. Okay, she's got it. Because, you know, we're pale Irish people. And so, you know, so okay, she gets a hat. And then she goes outside, she gets wet. We got to have a change of clothes. And so all these things. And you're like, holy smokes, I didn't know this stuff took so long. Now, the great part about being a grandparent is you just give them back. It's wonderful. I love this. I should have skipped parenting and just gone straight to grandparenting. Because it's just amazing the things that need to happen so that your trip can be successful. Okay? So now, here's the thing. In Joshua, I want to read to you the most important thing that happened. Well, one of the most important things that happened to the people of Israel so they could be ready to go into the promised land. Now, here's the problem with today's message, okay? Because first week, we talked about courage and Joshua rising up. And then we talked about Jericho and the walls of Jericho. And Pastor Ron spoke. And so I was looking at Joshua. I thought, what do I get to talk about today? And now we're at Joshua chapter 5. And today is about circumcision. There won't be graphics on the screen. Okay, just so you know. And I was like, oh, come on. Ron got all the fun stuff. Why didn't I sign Ron that week? I didn't, you know, I was like, and there are people here for the first time from Adventure Camp. You're like, wow, what's your church about? What are you going to talk about that's relative to my life? Circumcision. Are you kidding? You know, and I think that's what the people of Israel probably said to God, too. Really? This is how we're going to get ready? Circumcision? But, okay, so if you will bear with me for the next few minutes, I promise you, you will see the relevance of this. Are you ready? For your life. That's got to be worth just staying right there, okay? Okay, so let me read this story to you, and then we're going to unpack it together. We're going to turn up all the lights, because we have this one weird light up here. Have you noticed that? It's like the ghost phantom light. It just goes on and off. We have no idea, to be honest. And so, did we tell you we're going to have a building someday? And so, this is a reminder. Okay, so here we go. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan, remember we talked about that before, the Lord had dried up the Jordan River before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Okay. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeth Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way, in other words, during those 40 years. Right. So now you're talking not just like 8-year-old boys, but now you're talking 40, 60-year-old men. How's that for your retirement package? Okay, so... And after the whole nation had been circumcised, this is just amazing, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." That's probably the key for the day. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. And on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land, and there was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate of the produce of Canaan. Okay, you ready for this? Okay, getting ready for the church. By the way, we're doing baptisms today. We don't do circumcisions anymore in the church. Thank goodness. Okay, so here's the thing. Because keep in mind that right now, the Israelites, they're just moving forward. They're getting ready to take Jericho. They're getting ready to go to the promised land. And all the opposition up to this point had used scare tactics. And now it's like they called their bluff. By the way, when you're getting ready to go to something new, there will always be people who will try to scare you into doing nothing, to backing away, to living in the past. They count on fear. They count on scare tactics to keep you from reaching or even trying. And see, that's what happened. But now, all of a sudden, they see the Israelites aren't going to be turned back. They're not going to stop. They're not going to give up. And now, all of a sudden, they hear all the things that God has been doing, and God's in their midst, and it says that their hearts melted in fear. They no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Now, you imagine, the Israelites, they're right on the brink of victory. They're getting ready to go and take Jericho. They are on a roll. Nothing to stop them. God, what do you want us to do? Yes, we crossed the river. We got our armor. What do you want us to do? Yes, God, we will do anything. And God says, great, everybody get circumcised. Are you serious? Yeah, with a flint knife, no less. Yeah, you really are into this study, aren't you? It's like, okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so now everybody's going, okay, we're on the brink of victory. What do you want? What do you want? And then it says, this is why he did so. Because you see, what happened was that this is part of the covenant. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. I told you, today's a big day about circumcision. But believe me, in the end, it's all going to relate to you. Okay, so here we go. Okay, not that everything has to be about you, but today it's good to see a correlation. So here's the thing. The sign of the covenant, and we're going to talk about that in just a sec. The sign of the covenant was circumcision. This is the agreement God had made with his people. And so they had been circumcised to remember the covenant, but then they went into the wilderness. Then they went in the wilderness, and they were wandering around because of why? Their disobedience. And so God said, you know what? We're going to put a time out on this. So there was a shame with the people. Because you see, at that point, there were a lot of children born during those 40 years. And not one of them had been circumcised. Not one of them had claimed their heritage. Not one of them had claimed the promises that God had made for them. They were wandering, and they had not done this for 40 years. Now, the ones who had been circumcised, who, when they started, they had all died away. And if you remember the story, it's when they were getting ready to go to the promised land. Caleb and Joshua went with 10 other spies, and they went out to check out the land. The others came out with a bad report. Oh, we can't do this. And others, they didn't trust God. Caleb and Joshua said, we can do this. God is in this. Let's go. And so they got to go in the promised land. All the others died off from age 20 up. Every male who started off on that 40-year journey, everyone from age 20 and up died. So now you've got people who were under 20 at the time. You've got children who were born in that time, and so you have a lot of people, not one of them had received this mark of the covenant. And so God says, look, you know what? You've been on the way for all this time, but today's a new day. And let me tell you why this act is so important, because keep in mind, these are the chosen people of God. These are the people who had left captivity in Egypt. These are the people who now were going to a new promised land. But see, here's the importance of the covenant, because by being circumcised, there are a couple things that this was saying. First, it was saying, I'm no longer a worthless slave of Egypt. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Abraham. That's my heritage. You know, I love when we sing the song, you know, I am a child of God. Because what is it saying? It's saying, you know, this is your true heritage. Because you see, so many times we forget who we are. We forget who God has called us to be. You see, each and every one of you is a child of God. Each and every one of you was created by the Lord himself. Each and every one of you is precious and valuable in his sight. And here's the problem. Most of you don't believe it. Most of you don't live that way. And God is saying, oh, don't you understand? You are so valuable. I made a promise to you, and I keep my promises. And if you go back to Genesis, it's in your outline. It talks about this covenant that God made with Abram when Abram was 99 years old. It says the Lord appeared to him. By the way, don't notice something. This is a little side. I notice these things now as I'm getting older. Not quite 99 yet. Not quite there yet. Okay. But is there a time limit on when God can use you? Seriously, is there a time limit when God can use you? I mean, are you, boy, you know what? I'm past 30 now. I guess God can't use me. Okay, some of the most incredible people in the Bible, this is 99. I don't think we have anyone here who's 99. So there's still room for you, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Abram was 99. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Nice introduction. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. And then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You, Abram, will be the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generation to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. So here's the thing. God says this is literally the mark of belonging. Okay? You say, wow, that's a serious commitment. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you say, okay, well, so if this was a mark of belonging, and God is saying, I want to reinstate this because you've forgotten where you come from. I want to reinstate this so you know where you came from and where you are going. You know you're my promised people. You know you're valuable. You know you're a child of God. You know you're a descendant of Abraham. You know that you have a history, a heritage, and you have a future. Isn't that what this whole series is about? Hope for your future. And yet we forget. So now here's the question. What is our mark of belief or belonging today? Well, we have a lot of things that signify the covenant, right? We have baptism, right? And today at noon, we've got a little girl who's going to be baptized. I don't know how many of these kids are going to be baptized today, because at camp, we just said, okay, those of you who made a decision, if you want to be baptized, come on Sunday. I'm going to meet you at noon, kind of walk you through it. And then we're going to see who's baptized. I know we got at least one little girl who says, I'm in. I'm in. Now, here's, I want to read this to you. This is from Romans chapter 2. It says, a person is not a Jew who is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one innerly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. You see, this is the whole point. Jesus is the new covenant. And when Jesus comes, he says, look, you know what? We're no longer going to mark allegiance to God by a mark, by circumcision of the flesh, right? And by the way, if you didn't notice, that leaves out half the population, right, women? Okay, good. I don't think anyone's complaining there. So, but here's the thing. God says, here, you don't understand. Okay, that was a mark so we could mark and make a statement, right? But now, circumcision is circumcision of the heart. Now, think about that statement. What does it mean to be to have a circumcision of the heart? Okay, now, you say, well, I don't know. That's kind of weird, right? Now, here's the thing. I read this definition, and it said so much to me. It said a circumcision of the heart is cutting away of the stubborn callousness that makes a heart unresponsive to God. In other words, there's a cut, there's a piercing of the heart. There's a cutting away of the stubborn callousness that makes a heart unresponsive to God. And see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to cut away our callous hearts. Now, I can tell you that I have gone through seasons of my life where I've been callous. You know, I've gone through times where I feel like I've been wronged or people have done this or that, you know. And I find that I go in this time And this has happened to me on several occasions throughout my life. You know, there's a time where I'm just kind of like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just done. I'm just tired of the nonsense. And so, you know, I kind of start to get cynical. I mean, it's not real noticeable, but it is. You know, I take my wife for granted. I take others for granted. I don't trust. I say, you know, God, that's fine. I believe you can do great things, but probably not in my life, because it seems like I'm just getting screwed over today. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Latin for, no, we're not even going to try. No, it's just, okay, second hour, change, okay. But, you know, there's this callousness of your heart, okay, and so what God says now is like, look, you know what, in the Old Testament, here's the thing, circumcision was a mark that was important at that time. But now the circumcision is circumcision of the heart. And see, here's the thing. God is calling us to a circumcision of the heart. Now, the thing about that is it says this in Galatians. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Wow. Wow. So what's this all about? Don't you see? Don't you see what this is about? Before you can take the promised land, you better be right with God. Before you're going to take on any new territory, you better make sure that you are right with God. You see, here's the thing, is that just as the Jewish people were ready to go into battle, and they could have won, right? They had the momentum, people were afraid. God says, you know what? It's not just about winning the battle. Where are your hearts? Are you doing it for the right reasons? Are you standing with me? Are you going to be with me? And because you are standing with me, then you will go this with the right attitude, the right heart, and your victory will be God's victory, and it won't just be about you. And I just wonder, if we are Clayton Community Church, and we say we are serious about changing this valley for Christ, if we have people who pour out all those hours for Kids Adventure Camp just to see kids come to know Jesus, if we're going to spend all this time doing church or serving the community, if we're going to do all this, what are we doing it for? And if we are not doing it for Jesus and His glory, then we shouldn't be doing it at all. And if we aren't prepared, if we don't have that circumcision of the heart, if we don't make sure that we are hungry for God and we are wanting to honor Him and we are protected because we are praying and we are lifting one another up in prayer and we are saying, you know what? If we're going to take new territory, there are going to be battles. There are going to be battles. And if we are not ready for those battles, if we don't have on the full armor of God, right? If we are not prayed up and ready and our hearts are not in the right place, we're going to get creamed. So here's the thing. I hear so many churches, and we've done this at our church. We say, you know what? We're going to see everybody in our whole valley come to know Christ. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know what? The ball game's on. I'll catch it later. By the way, there's nothing wrong with watching a ball game. There's nothing wrong with doing fun things. But I just know that if this is going to be a church that makes a difference in this valley, if this is going to be a church that makes a difference in the world, if this is going to be a church that makes a difference in the lives of children and youth and adults, then we better be battle ready and God better circumcise our hearts right now, because unless we have scraped away the callousness of our hearts, we are always going to be people who are ready for battle who never quite execute. I don't want to be that kind of church. I don't want to be a church that just talks about change. I don't want to be a Christian that just talks about change. That's why I love having Elaine and Linda share. And I had two other written ones. And once again, time caught me out. John Hura, I am going to share your story here at some point. We have 30 people who just needed a little push, right? Just a little push, you know? For $100, right? We have seen all these incredible ministries launch. And people whose hearts were all for Jesus are now saying, I can do this. I can do this. What's it going to take for you? What's it going to take for you? Maybe one of you is going to come up here and say, you know what, after church, you're going to say, I'm going to take that $100 challenge. Maybe others of you are going to say, you know what, I need someone to pray for me today because, man, my heart has been callous. I need a circumcision of the heart. I have others of you who have said, you know what, I've been afraid of this or that, and it has kept me back from moving forward for Christ. whether it's unforgiveness or hurt or pain, God is saying, look, you know what? I want you to be healed and ready to go. And so here's the thing. They are just about ready to take Jericho, and now they've been circumcised. And let me just tell you, they were not in any place to fight. Just take my word for that. Okay? So what do you do? You're very vulnerable now. I mean, that's not a real good battle strategy. You're just about ready to take on the enemy. If the enemy had known, they would have wiped him out. But so here's what happens. It says, after the whole nation had been circumcised, the whole nation, this is 1 million people. That's a lot. Okay? They remain where they were in the camp until they were healed. And Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Now here's the thing. When you are in this place, isn't it interesting? They were literally cut, and now they had to heal. But in that time of healing, what did they do? Well, they couldn't do a lot of activity. They prayed, and they remembered. And they were mindful of why God had done this. And now there is this, not just a physical healing, but emotional healing, a spiritual healing, because of a very significant act. You see, reproach is a strong word. God says, I've taken away the reproach from Egypt, because that was when the people, what? They were slaves. That was when the people were in captivity. That's when the people were told they had no value, and they'd been on the run for 40 years. And now today, through this act, God says, you know what? I've rolled away that reproach. I looked up reproach in the dictionary. You know, it says, reproach is a deep shame which holds me back. And interesting. A disgrace, a discredit, or a blame incurred. To bring reproach to one's family, a cause or occasion of disgrace or discredit, an object of scorn or contempt. And I thought about that. 40 years thinking you had no place. 40 years thinking you had no value. 40 years living in a slave mindset. How many of us have lived with a slave mindset? You know, I think one of the things that I love most about camp is, you know, I forget that little people have problems too. Okay, I forget that kids have worries and concerns. Now, sometimes it's just because they got a hangnail, I know. Okay, and for us, that's not a big deal. But I'll tell you, little kids have big concerns. And one of the things I love about our adventure camp is this is a week where kids see that they are precious and valuable in God's sight. And I think that lasts for more than just a week. And my prayer for you today is that God would roll away your reproach. I mean, you have to think, what's my reproach? What's the thing of my past that I'm ashamed of? What is it that I am a slave to? What is it that keeps me from moving forward to take the promised land? You know, we have the heart, we want to make a difference, but there's something that holds us back. And so, you know, I loved hearing your guys' story because you're saying, oh, man, you know, I've always wanted to do these things, and now all of a sudden, I realized I got to do this. I better get this ready. And you did the work. And I'm proud of you both. I mean, you know, you did the work. And I just wonder, how is God going to take away your reproach today? Because I really believe that there are a lot of people in this room right now that are living in reproach. Does it make sense? You're living in the past, in the shame of Egypt. And so now God is saying, I no longer want you to walk in shame which holds you back. Today is a day. Mark this day. Literally, God did. Mark this day. It is a day to move forward in the promised land. Remembering where you came from and remember where you're going. I love the way Ephesians says it. Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body of human hands. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners of the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by what? By the blood of Christ. You see, Jesus is our new covenant. And it's interesting because the people after this time, they gather, it says on the 14th day of the month, which they camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, and they celebrated Passover. They remember that time when God had literally, you remember the story back to Moses where they put the blood on the door frame, top of the door frame? And what? They were literally passed over from their sins. They were literally passed over and their lives were spared. And see, now we see in Christ today, we see our Christ is our Passover lamb who by his shed blood, we are passed over from the consequence of our sins. And so they're gathering Passover to look backward for the redemption from Israel. It's look forwards towards full rest and redemption. And it says, the day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. That was a big deal, by the way. Unleavened bread and roasted grain. And the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year they ate the produce of Canaan. And you remember the story of the manna and the quail? So the Israelites were out in the desert, and they were starving. And God says, I will provide. And so he provided, and manna is, in my understanding, it was like the frost would come, and it was like this, it was like a flaky, it was a bread, but it wasn't that terrific, okay? It nourished them, but I would not say it was exciting fare. And then they had quail every day. Have you ever had something you eat every day? Have you had something you eat every day for 40 years? My guess, it gets a little old, okay? But see, here's the thing. They didn't have any way of providing for themselves, so God took care of them. So now what's God saying? God's saying, hey, you know what? It's a whole new day. I mean, suck it up, buttercup. I mean, it's time, okay? Put on your big boy pants, say whatever you want. You're going to the land of milk and honey. And there is no turning back. The escape plan is gone. There is no plan B. See, plan B in the wilderness, plan B was, well, God will provide it. You don't have to do anything. It's okay. And God says, hey, guess what? Time to grow up. Time to grow up. God is no longer supplying everything. It's time to step up and take responsibility. It's time to move forward. And so here's the thing. This is what God is saying us to hear today. It's time to move forward. And the questions I have for you, just as I close here this morning, is this. Have you let go of your reproach? Are you experiencing renewal on a continuous basis? And are you battle ready? And that takes a circumcision of the heart. So I just want to pray for you. We've got one more song today. I know a lot of you are going to be coming back later on today. I hope you are for our lunch at noon. I hope you do. But I just want to pray for you. And then as we have the worship song, we're going to have our prayer team up here because some of you might say, you know what? I need to ask God to remove my shame or my fear. Or, I mean, we could go on and on, right? It's what's holding you back. Okay? And then that's how we're going to end this morning. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this message. Who would have thought we could talk all morning about circumcision and have it relate to our lives? I couldn't. And yet, Lord, now we see that you want to roll back our reproach, that you want to take us to the promised land, that you have a plan for our lives and for our future. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray now, this day, that you would roll back our reproach. And this day, we would see that you have an incredible plan for our future. But I know there's a lot of people who've had some pain here. There are a lot of people who have been hurt deeply. There are a lot of people who are experiencing loss and fear. And yet, Lord, today is the day. Today is the day that you roll back that shame, that fear, that hurt. and you move us forward because, Lord, there is still much to do. Lord, I can't imagine if Abraham had stopped at 98 and said, I'm done. Lord, you had something more for him. You have something more for each and every person here. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be able to move forward this day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.